From First Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan, we present the Reformed Witness Hour. This is a God-centered radio ministry, preaching the truths of Scripture based on the fundamental principle of the absolute sovereignty of God. The Dort College Choir opens with Psalm 123. Last week we began an exposition of Isaiah's woe to those who call good evil and evil good, who put sweet for bitter and bitter for sweet. In Isaiah 5 verse 20, the scriptures are condemning the popular inversion of sin, the redefining of sin which so characterizes our day. In such a day, the church must faithfully declare the truth concerning man's sin. Only then can the gospel of Jesus Christ be understood in all of its beauty and power. Open your Bible and join us now as we return to Isaiah's woe to those who would call good evil and evil good. Our radio pastor, Reverend Carl Hawk, is the pastor of the Bethel Protestant Reformed Church in Roselle, Illinois. He speaks on the theme, Putting Bitter for Sweet.
Radio friends, last week we began a discussion of what we find in Isaiah chapter 5 verse 20, one of the woes that the prophet Isaiah was called to pronounce upon the people of his day. You will recall if you listened to the message last week, and if you did not, we can send you a printed copy. Listen to the announcer as he gives the address at the end of the program. But If you do remember our program from last week, you'll remember that I pointed out to you that in the prophecy of Isaiah, God had told Isaiah that he was going to bring judgment upon his people for their sin, that he was going to harden them through Isaiah's ministry. Isaiah's ministry was a ministry of calling them to repentance, but they would reject that word from God. And rather, they would settle themselves down in their sins, and they would be hardened and therefore made ripe for eternal judgment. I pointed out to you that in Isaiah 5 verse 20, we really have the expression of the heart of the attitude of men and women in Isaiah's day, the heart of a terrible attitude that is so prevalent in our day. Let me read the verse to you again. Isaiah 5 verse 20, Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That verse, as I pointed out last time, means that God has set down an inflexible standard of that which is good and that which is evil. The inflexible standard is His holy law, or His will as expressed in the Scriptures, specifically in the Ten Commandments. That is good. To obey the Ten Commandments is good. And that implies that God has also expressed what is evil. Evil is to violate those commandments. Corruption, darkness, bitterness, evil is to cast aside the will and the commandments of God. And I pointed out to you that that is exactly the standard today. Today, people want to call good what they consider to be good, and evil what they consider to be evil. That is, instead of bowing before a sovereign God, man today wants to make himself God and claim that he has the right to determine his moral issues. In reality, what is being done in Isaiah's day and in our day is the attempt to twist the inflexible standard of right and wrong. That's what the prophet is saying. Woe unto you that call evil good and good evil, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. So that we understand in those words that what is being done is not simply the attempt to neutralize God's law, nor the attempt merely to neutralize morality. It isn't as if men say, well, we really don't know what is good or what is evil. But they go so far as to say that evil is good, and what God calls good is evil. They take the very thing that God has pronounced evil, and they call it good. And they take the very thing that God has called good, and they call it evil, so that vice becomes virtue. That which God calls darkness, which is always a picture in the scripture of a turning away from God's holiness, that which God calls darkness is now considered light. And that which God considers light, and God considers light to be purity, holiness, is now considered darkness. So that the idea is that man in his sin attempts to make what is perverse in God's sight to be accepted as good, and then to take what God says is holy and to call that restrictive, evil, and narrow. That's what the prophet means when he says that they put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. God calls departure from his law bitterness. It will bring bitterness. And God says that which will bring sweetness is obedience to the crucified Savior by the grace of God. A life, a new life of holiness. But they turn that away. That is, man tries to turn that upside down. And they call sweet what God calls bitter, and they call bitter what God calls sweet. Now that's exactly what is at the heart of our present day. That's exactly the expression of the so-called morality of our day, whether that's expressed in politics or in government or even in the church world or in home or in school, professors at colleges, leaders of our country, the voices of the media, Hollywood. We have Isaiah 5 verse 20 before our very eyes in the day in which we live. Men call evil good. That is, men call what God calls evil to be good. And men call good evil. What God calls good, men say, is evil. This can be demonstrated in a host of ways. You think about it this week. Let's take the first commandment of God's law, which reads, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." This commandment says that it is good that man, the creature made by the hands of the living God, should recognize one only living God, the one true and only God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of the Bible. Beside him there is no other God. He is the Creator and he is the Sustainer. And we should recognize him as the source of our life, the source of all that is good, and that we should render to God the allegiance of our heart and serve God, that we should obey, trust, and know God. In the first commandment, God says simply, I am God, alone. He makes an absolute claim upon all, worship me alone. This is good, this is light, this is sweet, this is what man was created for. However, we are told today in educational and religious and political circles, oh, no, 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 that's too narrow. That is bigoted. That is exclusivistic. That is judgmental upon other people's expressions of their faith in their gods, which the Bible calls our idols. And the world says it's an evil thing to insist that there is just one true God and that he is the creator of the heaven and the earth. You actually believe that, man says? They would say to us that this is not intellectually sophisticated to talk of God who created the world out of nothing. And then they would say to us, you talk of one true God? We don't want that. We want all to get together and to serve God in the way that they like and simply to respect each other in this way. But that's not the first commandment. First commandment says there is no other God to serve but the true God, and we must serve him. But man says, you call other gods idols? That's too narrow. That's evil for you to say that. How dare you say that? That's evil. You are a threat, you Christian. You believer in the first commandment, you are a threat to society. You are a threat when you say God is God and you must have him first, supreme and only. Say that. And today you would be called evil. For what is good is called evil, and what is evil is called good. Let's take the second commandment. Let's bring that a little closer to the church world. God says in the second commandment that I will dictate the terms on how I will be worshipped. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. The second commandment differs from the first in that in the second commandment God is telling us how he will be worshipped by man. God says, I know the human heart, and I require that I be worshipped as I will teach you in my word. Still more, God says in the second commandment, you shall learn and conceive of me as I am known in my word. And so therefore the second commandment calls for purity of doctrine. We are to conceive of God not according to how we feel he ought to be, but as he has revealed himself in the infallible, that means without error, impossible to error, Holy Bible. Now if you believe that, today again in the church you will be called narrow, exclusivistic, and a mere traditionalist. We are told that we must be with it. We must be sensitive to the fads. We can't say which doctrine is right and which one is wrong. How dare you say that, many in the church would say to me, to insist that the biblical doctrine of God's sovereignty, that he is the Savior by grace through Jesus Christ, to insist on that and say that's the truth, to insist on the truth of marriage, that marriage is, according to Scripture, a lifelong bond, that only God can part that marriage in death, that remarriage while one's spouse is living is adultery. People would say to me, how dare you say that? Well, that's evil if you say that. And again, in the church, how is God worshipped? Well, we are told that we may worship God according to whatever the worship committee decides this week, whatever we think is going to be catchy and appealing to people. And if I say, but you mayn't do that, God says in the second commandment, you may not do that. You mayn't make a golden calf. God will tell you how to worship him. Look for it in the word. Then again, I would be called evil as someone who judges the religious offerings of other people in churches, and I would be told that my heart is just too narrow, I'm evil. Let's take the fourth commandment. God says that it's good to keep the Sabbath day and holy exercises and to set aside our daily work. God says this is sweet, this is for man, good and for God's glory to keep the Sabbath day, Sunday, sacred. Today, that's called evil. Today, that is called constricting, binding, and a killjoy, imposing one's rituals on people. And so, blue laws, in which society at once said that businesses in a society should be closed on the Sabbath, those blue laws have got to go. That's evil against our society. And as in Isaiah's day, that sound goes out of Jerusalem. The church, the visible church of God, calls the fourth commandment evil, bitter, and darkness. Can't wait to set it aside. They don't want new converts to think that Sunday is any different from any other day. Or take the fifth commandment. God calls it good, to honor all in authority, for the position that God has given to them of their authority. God says that's good, that's light, that's sweet, to honor all that God has placed over me in my life, whether that's in the home, in the parent, whether that's in the church, in the elder, whether that's in the state, in the policeman, or the governor, whether that's in the workplace, your employer. God says, for my sake, I want you to honor them. I want you to obey them. Unless they tell you to contradict my word, you must obey them. Today, that's called evil and called bitter and called dark. Children, when you make plain that you intend to follow and obey and take seriously what your parents tell you, then you are going to be looked upon by your peers as some holier-than-thou kid, some kid who's not with it. What's the matter with you? They'll say. Today, if you have to obey anyone, if you have to submit to someone, even in the church, well, how terrible, how oppressive, how hurtful, how evil, how degrading. In marriage, a wife submit to her husband. In the home, children to parents. In the workplace, employer to employee. Oh, that's terrible. That's evil. Let's take the sixth commandment. Thou shalt not kill. The commandment calling for the sanctity of life. Today, who will live and who will die are determined by what is convenient for man. God says it's evil to take life, except when I say you must, namely in capital punishment. Then the murderer is to be executed. Today, isn't it revealing that those who push for the abolition of the death penalty are pushing for abortion laws not to be repealed, but to be kept? Both cheapen life. That is, to push for the abolition of the death penalty and to support abortion is sin. God has said that because He gives life, anyone who takes life is to be put to death. And God has said that when He puts life in the womb, no one may take that life. That's human life. Thou shalt not kill. Always the Scripture treats the life of the conceived in the womb as a human life, as a person conceived by the hand of God. To take that life is murder. But today, this receives the endorsement of the state. In fact, it's even called a virtue. They say, you don't want unwanted children into the world? How terrible! How cruel to interfere in the choice of a woman over her body, we are told. You are evil if you say abortion is wrong. Well, let's take the seventh commandment. God says that the sexual nature of man and woman is good in the union of marriage, and there it is to be practiced alone. Violation of that is adultery. Fornication is evil. But that too is called good today. We are told it is good to divorce and to marry another if you can't make your marriage work. We are told that it is good for young people to be experienced sexually, that they don't need to have guilt about that, that it is to be expected of young people. We are told that homosexuality is good, God calls it a perversion, a wickedness, a sin, and God calls for repentance. God calls a clinging to the cross of Jesus where we find the wonderful power to cleanse our soul from the sins that we commit. But today, if you preach the gospel that way and call people to forsake sexual sins and to find the wonder, the sweetness of purity in Jesus Christ, why, you will be called evil. You will be called judgmental. Man must be liberated, we are told. Man must be liberated in allowing his own choice. Whatever a man wants to choose, however he wants to satisfy his lusts. And if God's law stands in the way, well then God's law is evil. Alright, that's the way it is in the world, but I assume that many who are listening to the program confess that we are children of God. Well, what about us then? Do we call what God calls evil, not so evil, something to play with? While we denounce all of these things in the world, murder, abortion, adultery, homosexuality, all right, do we as Christians play fast and loose with God's law? And when it suits our fancy, do we set it aside? Do you murder in hatred of your brother and sister? Do you, while you condemn adultery, do you entertain yourself on the television with it? This text is speaking to us. God says that because man has cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the Holy One of Israel, judgment will come. There are many who are saying that we are not going to regard certain portions of God's word. Oh, we don't want to push him off his throne just yet, but we don't want to push him out of the physical creation. But we are going to simply set aside certain things God has said. We don't like it that he says he's the creator in 6 24-hour days. So we'll set that aside. And we'll set aside other things too. But God says when you begin to set aside my word, then you are not recognizing me as God and as the lawgiver and the judge. God has made this world, and therefore you are accountable to him. But you see, if God did not make the world, then you're not accountable to him, are you? It's just that simple. When you begin to set aside parts of God's word, you set aside the truth of creation, you are attempting to push God off his throne. That's what you're doing. And there is a result to that. And the result is that once that seed starts growing in our hearts, we begin to push him off his throne in every area of life. The moment God's word loses its absolute authority and God's law no longer is the standard, then there will be indifference to God's wrath, and men will not fear the wrath of God. Men will not know their sin. Men will not know the danger under which they are. They will begin to despise the Holy One of Israel. Let's hear the word of God. The word of God to us is this. Beware lest you find yourself conforming to this age. For there is something always in our flesh that would like to believe that the current standards of morality are good and sweet and light. God says flee. God says deal ruthlessly with your sin. God says my way, my law, my will is good, sweet, and light. And let us go to God and lay our sins at the foot of the cross and ask God for purifying grace of repentance, to know our sin, and to turn from that sin to Jesus Christ, the blessed Savior. Let's also beware lest we become ashamed of God's word. God's law and word is binding today. Let's not be ashamed of saying that. And finally, let's be ready. for Jesus is coming very soon. When we see the sin of man and the arrogance that is being thrown in the face of God, we ask the question, how long can it be? When this spirit runs rampant throughout our land, when men call what God calls good evil and what God calls evil good, then how long can it be before the Son of Man himself shall appear on the clouds of glory? Therefore, to all who by His grace ask the question, what is good? What is light? What is sweet? Hear the word of the Living One, the word of God. My word is good, is light, is sweet. Live ye in it. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word today. We pray for its conviction in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a message based on Isaiah 5, verse 20. Complimentary printed copies are available to our listeners for distribution and personal use. Write to the Reformed Witness Hour, Post Office Box 1230, Grand Rapids, Michigan 49501. Ask for the message entitled, Bitter for Sweet. This booklet will contain four current messages. You may add them to your religious library. Please let us know that you listen by writing to us at Post Office Box 1230, Grand Rapids, Michigan 49501. If you are on the web, find us at prca.org. Please join us next week as we hope to bring yet another message from the living and abiding Word of God. Invite your friends to listen. Until then, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God remain with you as your strength and comfort.